It just came up in my heart. I have 5 services that I'm going to be teaching until my hubby gets back. And so I'm used to doing it maybe once, twice, but I'll see how far this goes. I don't know if it'll be 5, all 5, but I wanted to teach on answer it.
Come on.
Answer it. Which is just another way of saying use your authority. And it seems every time that I, don't you like that picture? That's a great picture, standing up, just, it's loud. Every time I seem to get in the pulpit, I seem to have a new story or a new win. But you know, the greatest thing is to walk in divine health. You know, and that, I mean, we always want whatever comes up, we know God's got answers for us, but the best and the highest is to walk in divine health, protected and kept. Amen. So it's been coming to me a lot lately that, you know, I share a lot of the things that happen with me because I feel like it gives handles to it, you know, and I'm also very grateful to tell it because the end is victory. And so I was thinking about just this past year and a half, maybe. A lot of people we've had the privilege of talking to, and you know, they're overcoming things, and or they're in the middle of it, so they're on their way to overcoming it. And I just think that it's so helpful to be reminded and stirred as to what is in us. And the greatest tactic of the enemy is to get you skewed. You know, if something's not going on all cylinders, it might be going in the right direction, having some success, but you want to be going on all cylinders. You want to accelerate your progress by understanding the word and how to stand in authority over things that come against you. And so that's what I wanted to get into tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these people that have gathered. Father, I thank you for our spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God coming into this congregation. We are in an era, Lord, that is going to usher in your soon coming. And Father, we want to accelerate. And thank God you meet us exactly where we are tonight. Wherever we are, we can add to where we are. And so I thank you for that. I believe you for that tonight. I thank you, Father, that if some are weakening, losing strength, involved in battles that are causing them to feel hopeless, Lord, I pray that they would see the truth of the word tonight and walk out of here changed and different. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now go with me to Colossians 2:14. I've got my little phone Bible here because it's such an awesome Bible because it underlines words. And it allows you to drill down when you tap that word. I absolutely love that. So Colossians 2:14-15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. So this is telling us the reality of what happened at the cross. Yes. The reality that he defeated the highest foes in the land. Amen. In any realm, he completely spoiled them. And the word spoiled, well, when I looked at it, it brings up the word reversed. And it brings up the word cessation, which means to make it stop. And not only did he defeat them, but he made a show of it publicly in that time. Yes. We weren't there to see it, but it was written so that we would know. So that no matter what is coming against us, this happened before we were even born. This is the reality, the spiritual reality of what's been done and what's been given. Amen. And it's nothing but authority. Yes. Nothing but overcoming. So our entire life is to be about knowing what was done and only acting on what was done. Because if you look around, sometimes it doesn't feel like that scripture is true if you're in the middle of a battle. But this is what the word is for. It's our anchor. And it's, you cannot allow the enemy to push you off that in Christ reality. Your enemies have been spoiled. Not going to be. They're not going to be spoiled. They were. They were completely defeated by Jesus. And then he made a show of it, of their humiliation. And he recorded it so that we would know this is what occurred. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us? Past tense. I'm going to stay there for a bit tonight. Who has delivered us from what? The power of darkness. Amen. That's an all-encompassing statement.
Yes.
Amen. All darkness.
Yes.
Has delivered.
Yes.
We have to meditate on these things.
Yes.
And has translated us, didn't just leave us there, put us in the kingdom of his dear son.
That's right.
What the enemy wants to do is bring a battle against you where you see it, you feel it, you're fatigued by it. You don't have words that you know of right now to answer it. Where all your attention is drawn to his voice, the devil's voice, his lies, his slander, his seeming power. Now understand, there's plenty of power, but not over the born-again believer. His job is to make you believe that you have to defeat him. Everything. I'm going to show you. He did that with Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness. He brings conviction to this. He brings great intensity to convincing you so that you don't even consider that victory. Past tense. You only consider, I'm in trouble. I'm in a battle. I have to pray to get God's attention. Please somebody help me. Because the voice when it comes, remember the Bible says that he comes around, he's a lion. I know it says like a lion, but if you're like a lion, you're a lion. Not for us.
That's right.
Not for somebody that is a believer that knows. Now, so for us, we have to learn it, but we're in a different category. But he is a lion. And he seeks night and day to destroy and to defile and to rob and to steal and to kill. That's his job. But we can never leave the reality that Jesus defeated him for us. So everything that we do when that word starts to get into us, because you understand when you begin, he's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to stop you from growing so that you never understand authority. Because if you never walk in what's been given, you're going to. You might win some things, but you're gonna understand defeat a lot.
Yes.
And you're not going to understand God. Because, I mean, I listen to parts of our family in the body of Christ. And everything is, you're in control. I'm going to love you anyway. What are they saying?
Yeah.
They're saying, I don't see any answers.
Wow.
But you claim to be all this, so I'm going to believe you. Because I just choose you're the great and the almighty God. And it's actually noble. It's noble. But it's not word-based. God's word is all about the authority that was already given.
Yes. Yes.
It was already done. So our job, just like the enemy's job, is to completely convince us and to keep our eyes on the problems, to believe that we're still reaching to be free of something.
Yeah.
Our born-again life is all about the pouring in of the word so that every step, every action, that nothing is spent talking the problem. It's all about what was already done. It's all about victory.
Amen.
It's all about the harnessing of the tongue because of the heart.
Yeah.
Empty words, they won't get you very far. They'll get you somewhere, but not very far.
Yeah.
But the heart that has the word poured into it. Your whole life, and it's a joyful thing. It's not a burden. It's a joyful thing, is answering things completely based on God's word.
Amen.
The enemy, his job is to make you not speak God's word, to be in fear that perhaps you can't overcome this one, and to be bombarded and keep your eyes on what you can see, what you can feel, the storm that's coming against you, the things in the family that you see that are now at your doorstep. And his job is to get you in fear. But if you go back and meditate on Colossians 1, 13 and 14, who hath delivered us. So what is he saying? He's saying that everything that you need, he's done for you.
Amen.
He has. And it doesn't matter if it is the demoniac of the Gadarenes, or if it is a simple ailment. Our job when we're born again is to open up to the word of God so that it is our all in all. It is what we speak. It is what we believe. It is what we know. It is what we gain traction in. We come to the house of God. It's nothing but life. But you don't leave the reality. You don't go starting to try to get your freedom. And I say that because we all do it. You have to learn. You have to learn. He gave it to you. Whatever is screaming at you, whatever circumstance, it got nailed to a cross. It was nailed there. All of it. Nothing got left out. Nothing got left out. The word teaches us now how to stand in that authority,
Amen.
How to enforce that authority, how to answer demons, how to answer attacks, from the simplest thing to things that are frightening. I don't think my husband will mind me sharing this because he has shared it. And of course, I only share so much. But when I met him, he was 21, I was 22. And God spoke to both of us. It sounded audible to me. I mean, it sounded the same way to him. It was a divine put together by God. And as we got into that first year of being together, and we weren't married yet, but I began to see that he had problems with obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
And I won't give you details. I'll just say this. It was frightening.
Yeah.
It was daunting.
Yeah.
It was something that makes you go to step back.
Sure.
It was not small. You see the commercials and you see people washing their hands and okay. Well, it was not that. Okay? It's one of those things. And I suffered watching him suffer.
Of course.
And he didn't have all the teaching that we have now. And you have lots of teaching and not act on it, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
But he knew to resist. And I would watch him resist. But it was so big in my mind in the beginning that I kind of had in the back of my mind this feeling of, is he going to make it? Is he actually, is he going to make it? Because we're not on the other side of testimony yet. We're seeing this is a big problem. And I remember asking him, how much of this occupies your mind? And I've said this before, and I thought he would say 30%. He said 70. And I'm like, okay, so we're dealing with a demon here.
Yeah.
It is. That's what it was.
Right.
That was harassing him.
Right.
And I watched him for 1 year, and he would just resist. He would speak to it. Say, no, I was redeemed. I already was. I've already been healed. So what's he saying to the circumstances? What's he saying to the enemy that is loud? What's he saying? He's saying, I'm ignoring you because something greater than you already happened.
Yes.
Now, if it would have been the kiss of death, is what did the enemy want him to do? I have OCD.
Yes. Right.
And I don't know what to do to get rid of it. It haunts me night and day. I need to see a therapist. Listen, I am not against therapy. I just think it's lower than what the Word offers. That's all. There's nothing wrong with it. You need some of them can guide you. They can guide you and talk to you and give you help where you are at. That's all I'm saying. But if he had agreed with it, if he had internalized it, if he had opened up the door of his heart and let it in, because it was knocking very, very loud. Very loud. And if he had done that, I don't know where he would be. I don't know where. I mean, I just would have had to take it on. You can take things on for your family. If they're not skillful, you can get skillful for them. I don't care what anybody says. You can. You can. But I knew God had told me, and I loved him. So I watched him. And in a period of about a year to 18 months, that thing, that ugly, God-awful thing, that ugly thing was gone. Yeah, it was a hallelujah. Look at that. Why? He didn't have to go and sit on a chair for someone to cast it out of him. Now listen to me. I'm not against that. There are a lot of people that need help. Because they haven't been taught anything. Some of them, they need to get born again. They need help. I am not diminishing that. What I'm saying is that when Jesus comes in, this is not a small thing. When Jesus comes into your born-again spirit and begins to tell you as much as you'll let him by feeding on the word, what he made you in that transaction, you've got to learn it. But he made you a conqueror.
Amen.
He made, that is why it is so awful to hear people talking the problem.
Right.
Because what's happened, the enemy has got him.
Yeah.
Got him in his grip.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
They believe it. Mm-hmm. What? So what? There's sickness in the body. So what? There's problems in the mind. So what? That you can feel it.
Yeah.
It doesn't diminish your authority.
Right.
It doesn't.
Right.
And sometimes you have to go long enough in life and fail doing everything in the natural.
Yeah.
Oh, we do. We're just so good at it.
Yeah.
Read every book. Try every program. Talk. I'm not saying it in an insensitive way. I'm talking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
As me, I did that. But I watched that evil spirit get completely flattened because Craig would not give in to it. He would not. He would resist it night and day. I would hear him talking to it. No. I was set free from that. At the cross, I don't accept you. I will not do that. I will not be that. That's not who I am. And he just began to pour out what was in his heart. And it was such a short period of time. Like anyone looking at it would have thought, well, this is going to be a decade. This is going to be a problem. It wasn't. Because why? Because he believed what the word said about it.
Amen.
Is it? It can't be that simple. It is that simple. It is that simple. It is that simple. When you have Jesus on the inside, if things are taking over, you have to put them in place.
Yes.
You have to drive things out of you.
Yes.
If you're the demoniac who's not born again, by the way, and you need the anointing, Jesus will come.
Amen.
We will come.
Yeah.
Cast it out. Mm-hmm. But once Jesus moves in, it's not that deliverance ministry is wrong. It's right. Because it comes and it lends help. It lends aid. It strengthens. It brings the anointings together to help. But don't ever forget that he lives inside you now.
Amen.
And you're a speaking spirit. You have everything that you need in the finished work of the cross and the word and the Holy Ghost to walk free of anything. Anything. And that's what the word says. Who has delivered us? We are not trying to get free. Now, a lot of people, this is where people turn off. They think, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Just think about that for a second. Let it sink in. If we're not trying to get free, what are our behaviors? What is, where are we now? If we're not going, we have this raging problem, whatever it is. Where are we? If we're not going to try to get free, people think, I don't understand. Like, what does that mean? What you're going to do is you're going to turn your heart and your mind to the Word of God, and you're going to believe it, and you're going to speak it. And you're going to answer that problem. Everything's not a demon. You can answer a problem. You answer it. Remember Jesus with the centurion, and I'm leaving my notes again, jumping. Okay, so the centurion, Jesus said, you have great faith. What did his faith do? When he compared it, he said, you know, you say to go and it goes, say to come and it comes. Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith. Why? Because that kind of faith takes authority and it speaks to things and it says, no, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. Because the authority is in you. God put it in you. You know, sometimes people wonder, why do we pray? You know, in tongues, why do we pray? Well, God put authority in you and then he told you to speak. So you speak in the natural, but you speak in tongues. Yes. It's still speaking. Yes. That authority is coming out in tongues. Amen. You're answering in English. You answer in tongues. You pray things out. It's all part of our dominion. Yeah. So with the centurion, Jesus is giving us, by having this written down, he's telling us what our faith is supposed to be doing. It's booting things out. And it's telling things that are over there, you come and you get in, you get here. You come and you get here. And it rips things apart. It moves things. It destroys things. It causes things to wither and die. And all it takes is some time in the Word so that you believe it. And then as you start moving things and commanding things to come, what happens? You're getting into the traction of a spirit life. That's your normal. Everything is turned to the spirit. And no, that's not happening. I'm not doing that. Or you're not doing that. I take authority over you. And it's you come up, you grow up into maturity. So, you know, one of my children at an early age began to wash their hands 30, 40 times a day. And they got this nasty, like crusty... Well, I mean, if you wash your skin too much, a patch, but this big on your arms, right? This was on his arms. And I was starting to see that weird behavior. Like he'd touch something and he'd look at me and I think I need to go to wash my hands. No, you don't need to wash your hands. Your hands are fine. But you know, that don't hold water because there's something speaking to him. No one taught him that. He didn't see his father do that. No. So what's happening, right? So now the enemy circles the family and looks for a point of access. And if the word is in us, we just say no. And so, you know, the natural, you can communicate simply, probably best not, don't do that. It's not good for your skin. That's useless. That's completely useless. It is. It's completely useless. So I begin to just say, and the grandparents said, and Craig would say, and we would say, I would speak to him. I said, you foul, evil spirit, you're not landing here. That's what I would say. That's the words God gave me. I didn't internalize it and think, you know, it's so deep in, now we got to pull it out. Or I just said, you're not landing here. I know what you're doing. You're not landing here. Remember Jesus, the word says, I looked for an intercessor. An intercessor doesn't just mean wailing and groaning, which is a deep form of prayer. But an intercessor stands in the gap and goes, you're not doing that here. You're not doing that here. God wants every single one of us to stand in a place of intercession. Always. A place where we guard. And so I began to say it. And I'm telling you, it was as undramatic as you can get. And I wanted it to be. Because I'm not spending my energy. I don't fight the devil. I used to when I was younger. I thought, see, you got to come back to what the word says. Why don't I fight him? The Bible says he's been defeated. Jesus gave me that authority. Now I have to speak.
Yeah.
But I have to make sure there's enough word in me that I believe.
Yes.
Right? If you're in the word in the mornings, that'll set your day. You won't struggle with it.
Yeah.
Put the word in. Be militant about it. Get the word in. Every day before you start your day, get the word in you. And so, because it's spirit food. And it's the first thing that comes out when you face something. And so, it's almost like that story where I had the warts and my mother cursed them and they got worse for 2 weeks. You know, like the skin got so scaly on his arms and he's just like, not to be insensitive, but the behaviors that surround this stuff, they call it mental illness for a reason. It's strange. And you can't reason with it because that's not the source. The source is not normal. And so I just began to just, no, you don't. No, and my other sons would get concerned and say, you know, you need to talk to him. I said, I don't need to talk to him. I'm dealing with it in the spirit. I'm talking to that thing, and it was going to stop. Now, I couldn't tell you the day or the moment, and I didn't put timelines on God because I don't need to.
Yeah.
I just spoke it, and then I walked off. And I spoke it, and I walked. I could say, no, you have no hold.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus cursed the fig tree, what did he do? He cursed it and he walked off.
Yeah.
He didn't wrestle with that, you know, that tree. Do you know what I mean? Cursed and it withered and it died. It was Peter that pulled his attention to it. And there's a form, there's things that come out of faith where you curse things and you just keep going.
Yes.
You know, in my children, I have cursed migraines. I mean, bad ones. Vicious nosebleeds and blood clots. And just problems. Luke would get up every morning for 2 years, three, and throw up. Yeah, and afraid of everything. And so we just begin talking. We just begin to speak to that spirit of fear because God didn't give him a spirit of fear. So he doesn't have it. I know what I see. It's irrelevant because it got nailed to the cross before we were ever here. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't leave what the word says is the reality.
Amen.
You don't leave that to focus on the problem and then support the problem. Oh, I have this. Oh, this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the answer. Don't do that. Get the word of God in you. The answer can come so quick. So quick the answer can come. The word of God goes in and remember it says to get into that rest of faith. What is that? That's our fight.
Yes.
That is the only fight that we've got. It's not wrestling with the devil.
Yeah.
The rest of faith has such word in it that it speaks, it commands, it moves on. It does not get down in the dirt with the devil. It comes from an elevated place. It severs things. It destroys yokes. Some things take time. But isn't it an amazing thing? You can go home tonight, like if you had a growth in your body, and you can go home and lie in your bed and take your medicine, what the world wouldn't give to know that they don't have to get everything chopped out and surgeries and hell on earth.
Yeah.
Hell on earth. And this dominion goes very, very far.
Yeah.
Well, I believe in these last days, we're going to get the joy.
Yeah.
Of seeing this kind of dominion, because the church is going to walk in it and is understanding some things about who we are. So speak. Begin. You're made to speak to problems. They will leave you. Let me give you a couple of examples, small ones. I don't know what happened. I think I got a couple mosquito bites a couple years ago on my elbow. And for something, this is weird, but it just, my elbow, like it was raised with ridges. Like you could count probably like 20 ridges, like a patch. It was almost like the bone had a problem and it was raised. And I thought, that's ugly. You know, I'm a girl. I don't want ugly arms. I don't like ridges there. You know, and it was probably that big.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like there, and it was something I thought, well, I had a mosquito bite, and then it grew into something like I didn't anticipate. And I just cursed it. I got tired of it. I thought, it's not going away on its own. I'm going to curse. So I put my hand on it. I said, I curse you in Jesus' name. I curse you. And in 3 days, it was gone. And I just wake up in the morning, I just touch my elbow and smile because of the power given.
Amen.
Power given. And then, you know, this is going to sound silly, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I think I told Andrea, you know, I guess, I'm turning 50 this year, and I get, sometimes your skin changes, and I know we got to age, but we should age well.
Yes.
Right? We can age, but you can speak. So I noticed on my neck, I was like, I could feel like skin tags starting, like all these mini ones all over my neck. I thought, that's gross. That's gross, right? I don't want that. That doesn't feel very feminine. So I cursed it. Now, before I cursed it, I bought some skin tag removal cream and slathered up my neck. It didn't work. The whole thing, I used the whole jar. It didn't work at all. At all. And so, but this is such a beautiful thing, you guys. I just said, Father, I curse these things. I speak to you. You're not. I'm taking authority. You're not. My spirit controls my body. You're not doing this. And they left like that. They were gone within a week. And then I was having the same problem with, like, they call them milia sometimes, like these little things under your eyes. Got the little acid bottle. Honest to God. And I'm slathering it, and I got fed up. I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not living on this stuff.
So good.
Well, to me, it's like that story I tell that when I went to Bible school and I wanted a Pepsi.
Yeah.
And God gave me a Pepsi. I mean, you can live with certain things, but I'm saying that to him, and I promise you, I'm not exaggerating or trying to make something. I would never do that. It was gone. It almost went overnight. So I'm telling you stories because there's traction of who we are, what we do, how we handle things, from things that are serious to things that are just that we want to happen. Just we have a command on the inside of our spirit. And God tells us that we're not supposed to be afraid of anything. Oh, well, I don't know about that. Well, you're mental. You're in your mind, in your spirit. You're not allowed. If Jesus says, fear not, then he's going to back up that command with the ability of a born-again spirit to live without fear.
Amen.
That's the word.
Amen.
That's what the word says. So aren't you glad that no matter what comes, you can choose never to be afraid again? Ever. When Craig went to Israel in December, before he left, you know, the war is on and he's going to Tel Aviv. And I find out later, you know, they're bombing Tel Aviv more because they want to kill more people. And it seemed safer. And then when he's on the plane, I think he mentioned it, he's on the plane and they thought it was his plane because they're firing at a civilian plane and the dome took it out. But this is ridiculous. This is like horrific things, right? And I felt for those people. That must have been so terrifying for them. But when he left, something rolled in. It was, I've never experienced it ever. It rolled in like a cloud. And there was the complete inability to feel any fear. And I went, oh, Jesus. Oh, you make us look good.
Hallelujah.
This was him. He just came in and I'm telling you, there was not an ability to feel fear. Now, sometimes you got to take the bull by the horns and go, oh, no, get out. You know what I mean? But with this, it just, and I went, oh, Father, there's equipment. There's equipment. But you know what? That equipment's in all of us. We have choices to make. And one of the choices that we need to make is to never be afraid of anything ever again. Because he put dominion in you. We have to develop. We have to grow. This place is an ugly place. It's a hostile environment.
Yes.
And for us to live days of heaven on earth in peace, with knowledge, with the command in our spirit.
Praise God.
He's everything. He's everything. He's given us great and precious promises. Feed on that. Speak that. Love that. Meditate on that. And you'll do the works that Jesus did. You're supposed to. You're supposed to. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't keep your eye on things to see if it worked, because it'll hold your attention there. That's really important. Some things, Pastor says it this way. In a village square sometimes, especially in Europe, they have these big bells. And, you know, the bellboy will go and yank on it, and it just, the momentum, it will sound throughout the village. She said, but when you cut the momentum of that bell, it'll still go for a little while. It still looks like it's fully engaged. But if you've cut the source of the swing of that thing, it's going to stop. And things that we are talking to and we're commanding them to stop, they have to stop. So don't look at them. Just continue on your way and stay in your authority. Remember, everything is from authority. We don't allow other things in. We're not talking about the other things. They're not important. There's no life in them. There's no ability to change it in that lane. It's irrelevant to us. For us, I've experienced such the beauty of the Lord. It's like the fact that you don't ever have to have another sad day. People say, well, that's not impossible. That's what I used to think. What's that? It's mental. When you know your spirit, when you're not walking in fear, when you've got answers, when you've been given authority to change things, when you know how to protect your mind because it hasn't changed yet. It's a place that you can live in. And you answer the enemy, I'm not coming out of that place. You're not taking me out of that place. Well, what about this? What about that? Doesn't matter. I'm not coming out of that place. I'm not. I'm staying in. One of the six things that the Lord dealt with me, remember I told you last year or a year before I got sick, one of them was how to get in the spirit and stay in the spirit and don't go back and forth. What's he saying? You're growing up spiritually. Don't let me see you in immature behavior. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. If you think that fighting with your spouse is normal and allowed by God, you're dead wrong. You're not allowed to do that. Well, I don't, how are we going to work? Not like that. That's the wrong spirit. You'll open your relationship up to death. You have to get in your spirit and stay in your spirit. And let God lead you. And let God help you. And let God bring peace. You're not allowed to act like that when you're growing up spiritually. Because there's things in play and they're evil. And God will defend a marriage, and God will come in and protect, and God will come in and help, and God will come in and prune, and God will make something that's bitter, he can make it sweet. And it might just be one that decides, well, I don't care about them, I'm going to the cross, you know, God's going to help me. Or I'm taking authority now to change some things. But what will the devil do? Try to pull you into the mental realm. You can get so far into God. Now, this is going to sound a certain way, so I have to qualify it. You can get so complete in who he's made you that you don't need anyone. Now, let me explain. That doesn't mean that you don't completely love your spouse, but you are not looking to them to fulfill you. He is the fulfillment. Therefore, if there's bumpy waters, or they didn't treat you right, or you were sharp with one another, you step back, get into your spirit, man, and pray and act right. You're acting right. What are you doing? You're sowing. You're sowing into the relationship. You know, you're mature enough to realize that you don't need to win every fight for God to undertake, that you can be patient while the big things get changed. Lester Sumrall's mom, she married, Lester Sumrall's dad was a hard man. She prayed for him for years. Yeah, she said it. And Lester said it. And one day in prayer, she saw a lion in the realm of the spirit. And it basically walked out of her husband. And he changed. And this man that made fun of pastors, was hard as nails to his family, became a preacher. He changed. We have authority. You won't access that authority if you stay in the realm that you can see. Well, they don't talk to me right. Now, I'm not talking about abuse. Abuse is a different deal. You flee, get out. But if there's any normalcy, there's something to be said about the third person of the Trinity that's in that relationship. If you'll allow him, if you'll yield to him and yield to him and yield to him. Pastor says it this way, if things get out of order, you put them back. It doesn't mean that everything's instant. You should stand in front of your family and tell the enemy, you're not getting that.
That's right.
This might be out of place. That might be going wrong. But I know how to get into the secret place.
That's right. Amen.
And I will wear this thing down.
Yes.
Because why? Because he nailed it to his cross.
Right. Amen.
Jesus nailed it to his cross. So whatever the problem is, it can be changed. If we are spiritual about it. If we answer things, this is glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, you've heard me say this a lot, but forgive by faith, not feelings. Your feelings will line up just like that. They will. They will line up. That sting, because it's supernatural power. It'll take the bitterness. It'll keep things from growing that are wrong. It'll shield you by faith. Really, it will. It's powerful. It's so powerful to forgive by faith, not feelings. You don't want to be tormented because you won't let something go. You don't want to be tormented. We all do things that are not good. But we let people go. Don't focus on them. Let them go. Don't even think about it. I don't care if it's your spouse. Or a kid that's yours. Let it go.
Yeah.
Don't focus on it.
Amen.
Your job is to have days of heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Incubate your mind. Protect your mind.
Yeah.
Like my husband said, any thought that comes, if it don't line up with the word, you are authorized to go, I'm not thinking that.
That's right.
I don't have to think that. I can think this. And if you got a whole book, you can think in its place. You can proclaim in its place.
Yes. Yes.
You do. Jesus said it. He said it. Jesus did the speaking. He didn't expect God to do it for him, even though he was God in the flesh. When he spoke to that fig tree, what's he doing? He's speaking to lack. Right? Yeah, and it already happened, you know. It's not like the tree flourished in front of him and gave him fruit. It happened. It was already done. But he pronounced judgment on it. It displeased him. He pronounced judgment. He modeled it for his disciples. And you know what? When he was crucified, he cursed that lack for every single one of us.
Amen.
He cursed it. And it withers and dies in our life. The things that steal from us, that bring us into places of hardship, we have authority over it. It's amazing what's in the Word. Like if you stop to realize what it's actually telling you, what it's actually saying to you, what has been given and imparted. Now to become skillful with what's been imparted. And stop disagreeing with it.
Yeah.
Stop fighting with the word. Get the word in. No. Believe it from a pure, innocent, childlike heart.
Okay.
And watch your life begin to change. You know, in Matthew 16 and 19, it says, whatever you bind on earth, then heaven binds. But it's on earth first. That's where we are. Whatever you, didn't say whatever the Lord binds. This is our textbook.
Yeah.
The Bible is our, this is how we learn. It's important, the order that things are set forth in. Whatever you bind on earth, it gets bound, and heaven backs you up. The force of heaven backs you up. That's what the word says. Well, I don't see it. That's what the word says. Whatever you bind, and then whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Man, we can have fun with this, I'm telling you. This is so enjoyable. Praise the Lord. I love the word of God. Your feelings don't diminish what the word says. Now, if you act on that, okay. But the reality is the facts of what's been given, it doesn't matter what you feel. Just because you live in a realm where you can't see everything, it doesn't diminish what's been given, the gifts that have been given, the spiritual heritage that you've been given. You better get after it. Learning, 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 and make the Lord proud. Because He wrote that word for you to grow up in, for you to enjoy, for you to be so enamored with the Word of God. Psalm 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who He hath redeemed. Past tense. Keep it past tense. You understand? That's so key. It's not semantics. It's so important. If it's past tense, you won't be afraid. You won't allow yourself to feel fear if you're buffeted because it's past tense. He's backing you. He's backing you, and you're in agreement. He's backing you, and you're in agreement. That's what the word says. Whatever you bind, no, you're not coming in here. No, you're not going to do that. I forbid it. Well, it looks pretty bad. You know, things are swirling, you know. I don't know. You'll have the last laugh. Don't worry. Just be steadfast. Immovable on the word of God. That's why that scripture says the house stood even though the rain beat on it. Why? Because it was built on a rock. Yes. What's the word is the rock. You're building your whole life on. Didn't say the rains didn't come. I wish it did. I wish the rains didn't come. I wish we could just build on a rock and have a nice sunny day. But if it comes, we'll stand. If we're built on the rock. What's the rock? The word. Not our feelings. Not our family tree. We got a new family tree.
Amen.
We got a new family tree. Brother Jesse, his family all died of, like, they died young. But he's living long and strong. Why? Because he's aware and he speaks and he believes that he was translated out of that kingdom of darkness. When it came to him, he stopped the flow of hell. He was not ignorant concerning the word. And we shouldn't be ignorant concerning the word. We've got a job to do to impart, to live it, to turn things around, impossible situations around, have miracles. You read the faith chapter in Hebrews, chapter 11. They quenched, they quenched, was it the fire, and they quenched the mouths of lions, or stopped the mouths of lions? I'm going to be teaching on that. I can't wait. This is awesome. This is our heritage. This is what faith does. You get put into an impossible situation, and you turn a nation because you won't bow your knee. Praise God. Glory to God. I'm almost done. I don't want to get into the next part. The next part is Luke 4 or Matthew 4, or Jesus is tempted. And I wanted to, that is such a magnificent scripture, but it's so deep. It's not hard to understand, but so much happened there. People don't take time. Like, this was the battle of the ages.
Yeah.
This was the apex. This, it all stood on this test. In Exodus, it talked about how God called Israel, the nation of Israel, his son. I think it's like Exodus 4. Is it Exodus 4, 22? Yeah. And it says that his son, Israel, but he's talking about the nation of Israel and how he led them into the wilderness. And they wouldn't be obedient to him there. But he did lead them that way. He did lead them. It wasn't meant to be for a long time, but it was for them to trust him and to be proven. And then, so they fail. And then Jesus, who's God's son, he comes and the Spirit does the same thing, drives him into the wilderness. But instead of 40 years, which it wasn't meant to be, but it ended up being, he does 40 days. So this new son comes and he goes in a victor. He's a victor throughout and he emerges the same. It wasn't a tussle between him and the devil. He went in to show his mastery and his obedience to the plan of God, because the first son failed. But in that entire excerpt, and I'm going to get into it on Sunday morning because I have more time. Well, I'll focus on it then. But in that place, he's answering. He's answering specifically. And the devil, if you look at it, his temptations are very strategic. They're masked as something, but they're something totally different because he's tempting him. And the way that Jesus handles him is so masterful, because it's the word that breaks demonic attack. It's the word that causes that whirlwind to go away. It comes, but if you're on the word and you know how to answer, you don't take your eyes off of him to look at the circumstances, but your eyes are on him. See, that's why it's so important that the word is in you, because those answers, they have to come out specifically. God hates the spirit of religion. It covers everything with grime. It makes powerful things of none effect. It steals the power out of the word. The word's all powerful, but if we're believing a spirit of religion, then you're not going to have power. You're not going to walk in authority. You're going to be defeated because it's an evil spirit. That same evil spirit tried to kill Jesus. It's still in the earth. It's still, if it can't control you, it tries to murder. It's one or the other with a religious devil. It tries to kill the word of God. It tries to thwart the fullness of it being planted in your spirit. How dare you think you have authority? Who do you think you are? Well, the word says who we are over and over and over again, who we are in Christ, who we've been made. Seated with Christ. What does that sound like to you? Seated with Christ. We have to believe it, church, because it's reality. That's the reality. We have been. That'll take care of self-esteem problems. It will. You're made something special by him. You're special to him. Yeah, it's so important to believe right. But I will save this for another morning, a.k.a. Sunday morning. And I'm so grateful. Aren't you grateful? Agree with the word. Let it transform your thoughts. Let it transform you. Like, if you're that person that, you know, you're going along, all of a sudden, you know, you cuss. I know we laugh or whatever, but like, you just, yeah, it's true. You just like, oh, I hardly ever do that. But, you know, the more you put the word in you, it'll drive that out. You wouldn't be able to drag it out of you. I don't care if you stubbed your toe, or you just change. You get transformed from the inside out. Your nature is to be like him. Your nature is to speak like him, to talk like him. Remember, he's telling the disciples, why are you afraid? They're in the boat. Why are you afraid? There's two responses. One's mental. The mental one goes, well, take a look around. Circumstances. But the spirit, the spiritual response had Jesus at the front of the boat, muzzling the storm. That's the difference. And we get to choose. Choose life. Don't choose death. Don't settle for a mere life of simple humanity when God has made you something special.
Amen.
And put power in your born-again spirit to change things in your life and change things in other people's lives.
Amen.
And there's a rallying cry going out right now because the church is getting ready.
Yes.
Before, it was just, it was said. Now, we're at the end of the age. It's time. It's time.
Yeah.